Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al-Dhikrayat. If you've just tuned in, you're on Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia. And I'm your host, Tasneem. I'll be taking you up to the next hour, inshallah, just before the 3 o'clock news. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin today's show in the name of Allah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna alhamdulillah. نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Welcome to Al-Dhikrayat. This is the show where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. Subhanallah. And I believe in choice, and choice is empowering. Complacency is boring, and happy looks really, really good on all levels, and inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us smiling. Allahumma inni as, you know, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grant us the highest stages in Jannah. And Allah always keep us smiling, inshallah. So welcome to today's show. Today's show, we're focusing on negative emotions. Not always easy to speak about emotions. We spoke a lot about mental health and its stigma in our Muslim community last week. But what about when pain is not a pathology? You know, we spoke to the psychiatrist. We had Dr. Arvi on, you know, online, and she spoke a lot about when we suffering from the different mental disorders and when pain becomes a pathology. But what happens when pain is not a pathology? And these are our normal day-to-day emotions that make us human being. So in today's show, I want to focus on negative emotions like anger, sadness, and despair, and also look at how we can manage and control these emotions and what the Quran and Sunnah says regarding these emotions. Even though they are generally seen as maybe negative emotions, learning how we can use them in a positive and constructive way. And all these feelings, you know, literally just make us who we are. They make us into human beings. And it's highly necessary. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with negative emotions. So we need to recognize them, become aware of them, and learn how to cope. Alhamdulillah. So let us look at all these different kind of emotions today. Some of the emotions I'll be focusing on is anger, which we need to speak about, and then also sadness and despair and the difference between the two. And we'll also be taking a look at examples from the Quran and the Sharia and looking at lessons in the lives of the Anbiya, inshallah. So kicking off today's show, just to mention that the lines are open, so do give us a call. The number to call is 011-854-1548. It's always lovely interacting with our listeners. And just a shout out to all the listeners that I meet on a regular basis. Alhamdulillah, it's always good to see you guys. And, you know, to know that you're listening out there. So do give us a call. It would be lovely to hear from you. So let us start speaking about anger. When you think about anger, you know, generally, and these are some of the myth-busting sessions that we need to have with regards to anger. When we think about anger, we normally think that men are angrier than women, or this is a trait generally, you know, in tune with who men are supposed to be. But according to latest research, I mean, if you just look at it in the media and literature, it's frequently reflected and perpetuated that the belief that boys and men are naturally angrier than girls and women, and that their anger is righteous and violent, and, you know, they have every right to be angry. But just recently, in a study conducted in 2016, it was founded by the University of Massachusetts, that researchers found that most people are predisposed to associate negative and angry facial expressions with men and masculinity. And these biases that lead most of us to see anger in men's faces also lead us to commonly interpret women's faces as fearful or sad. But how much of this is actually true? So research consistently shows that men are no more likely than women to be angry. In fact, women report feeling anger more frequently and in more sustained ways. I mean, just recently also in a study in early 2016, for example, a national survey conducted by NBC found that women reported consistently higher rates of anger. Another study conducted by a very popular magazine just 2 years later revealed the same pattern. So this is a myth of gendered anger, you know, and it's based on just us as children, as young as 3 or 4, And even in a study done in 2011, there was a study done on children's emotional expression, and they found that adult biases strongly influence how we think about gender and anger. So adults are more likely to describe infants they think are boys as agitated or disagreeable, and other studies show that both mothers and fathers are more likely when reading to their children to associate anger with male characteristics and use words making those connections. So this is a human emotion. It's not specifically targeted at one specific gender. So when we think about anger and how we feel, it's a natural feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And when we look at anger, the first story that normally pops in our mind is the story of Umar radiallahu anhu, and how he used his anger in a really constructive way in the mission of Deen, subhanAllah. Another myth we normally think about is, you know, venting makes you feel better. And when we think about physical aggression and hostility, you often think of release mechanisms for anger. And some people might throw plates, others punch holes in walls or doors. And, you know, I normally advise clients to take up a boxing class, you know, combat sports like kickboxing, or, you know, this would normally release rage and reduce stress. But sometimes the problem is that destructive therapy, as it has been called, doesn't help and could actually upset you more, according to some research. So one study concluded that it may be worse than useless. And trying to get anger out in these ways has been shown to lead to increasing aggressive behavior and sometimes unhelpful process in which anger can loop in on itself. So really speaking, we need to look at this and think about some constructive ways. And the best way, inshallah, is to look at the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with anger. And we know that anger is from shaitan, so the first thing we normally need to do is to calm down by drinking a glass of water. And just the thought of water is extinguishing fire, and this is the heat that you feel in your body is actually shaitan rushing through your veins. So inshallah, by drinking the water, it should also shift your energy, but also help you calm down and, you know, douse out those fires created by shaitan. So research recently shows that the more a person vents in these ways, the more they report having a bad day. And there was a famous study done by psychologist Brad J. Bushman, and he concluded that venting actually increases anger and aggression. And after studying the emotional responses of people using punching bags to exercise their rage, he concluded that you know, it's doing nothing at all. In fact, it was even more, the anger became even more effective. So this is also something we need to look at. Another thing with regards to anger management is, you know, just taking deep breaths. For example, counting to 10, going for a walk, and, you know, this would normally shift your energies and direct your thoughts to a more positive space, inshallah. But having the feelings isn't the problem. It's what we do about them. According to the American Psychological Association, it actually points out that anger is a completely normal and usually healthy human emotion that sometimes turns destructive when it's not acknowledged. So I would think the most important thing to do with our anger is to actually acknowledge it and to understand it. Like, we always need to know our source of anger. Anger can be channeled productively and creatively, often with powerful and lasting effects. So today, anger on social injustice is fueling massive social movements in the United States and abroad. And alhamdulillah, just the attack on Muslims alone is making us as an ummah stand together and unite and come out and show what Islam is all about. So inshallah, let us use this anger in a productive, constructive way to help us get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to understand that this is one of the negative emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, in a sense. It's also a ni'mah, but we just need to learn to manage it and control it and use it in the most productive of ways. So last week we spoke a lot about pain, you know, and pain is a pathology. But what happens when pain doesn't make sense? So we often become depressed and anxious. And sometimes with the social media culture, we need to fit in. So we live in a culture that does not meet our basic human needs, especially for connection. In terms of, you know, if you just look at it, one in every five people are taking psychiatric drug medication. So depression is also a sign of unmet needs. Not all depression is caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain. And I think we spoke a lot about that last week, where depression is a pathology, but it can also be deep pain and grief that we haven't dealt with since childhood. And I think in today's show, I'd like to speak a little bit more with regards to this. So if we give people a context in which they can talk about this and not feel judged, and, you know, we can speak about it in a safe space, it leads to a significant fall in depression and anxiety. So alhamdulillah, I mean, you know, don't be afraid. If you need to seek help, if you need to seek therapy, find a therapist that you feel comfortable with. You won't be judged. You'll be in your own free space. You know, speak to the right people, and you can release the shame that you carry, that you've been carrying from the time you were 5 or 6 years old. You don't have to carry this with you. You know, don't believe the people who tell you that if you are depressed and anxious, you are biologically broken, because this is not true. In fact, this will only add to your shame. You deserve more love. You deserve more compassion. I mean, Allah loves you 70 times more than a mother loves her newborn baby. So you need to constantly ask yourself this question, who am I? Let me tell you who you are. You are beautiful. You are smart. You are intelligent. You are amazing. Whether you think you are or whether you don't believe anything that I'm saying now, when was the last time you actually acknowledged the goodness that you have within you? And I mean acknowledge it in a healthy, positive way to make you want to be a better person. And when you acknowledge it, the strength that you have within you, it makes you want to utilize it. And when you're utilizing it, you're using it in the service of Allah's creation. And Allah speaks many times about this, about how these are the best of people that are in the service of Allah's creation. Allah loves when we do this. So these talents, these skills, these gifts that Allah has blessed us with, we really need to acknowledge them, become aware of them, embrace them, and utilize them in the best of our capability and ability, and use them in the service of Allah's creation. And this is when we shine, and people are attracted to us because we're letting off such good positive energy. When people leave our company, they feel spiritually heightened. They feel emotionally heightened. And physically also, you've given them a new lease on life. They feel recharged. They feel energized. So we need to be these people that can be this source of energy and the source of light for others. Because within each one of us, every single one of us, I mean, just think about the women Allah speaks about in the Quran, and the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. In the Quran, we have the story of Maryam alayhi salam. What a powerful, amazing woman. We see the story of Safura alayhi salam and Asiya alayhi salam. Subhanallah, what amazing, powerful, strong women. And they changed history. They changed the world. And each one, inside each one of us, every single one of us listening, every single one of us, Allah loves us so much. Every single one of us have that same world-changing capability within us. But sometimes we just don't tap into it, and we don't realize it. So self-awareness is so important. We all have strengths, and we all have these negative emotions that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. But we need to embrace it, and we need to see what can we do to get better, what can we do to become better. So let's take a look at the Quran. Why was Yaqub alayhi salam in distress? He was suffering. He was in grief. If we just read, there's an ayat in Surah Baqarah, and Allah says in the Quran, we will definitely test every single one of you, some with fear, some with hunger, and with several different types of loss. This is what Allah is saying. I will definitely test every single one of you. And this is in Surah Baqarah. So look at Yaqub alayhi salam. They were anbiya. They were the praised ones. They were the beloved of Allah. And yet Allah tested them so much. So when we look at dunya, dunya is a testing ground. Allah says in the Quran, He's going to test us with our health, He's going to test us with our wealth, and He will test us with our family. And Allah wants to see how you react. You know, we need to look at our relationship. How is our relationship with Allah? And that relationship is connected to our salah, to our five-time salah. When Quran speaks about salah, Allah says in the Quran, establish your salah. So, do you read with enthusiasm? Are you conscious in salah? Who am I making sujood to? We need to be conscious in our salah. Live our life in every single moment to sit and ponder. Allah loves when we sit and ponder because we've been created out of haste. And this sitting and pondering is actually goes against our grain. It goes against our DNA. So it's very difficult for us to actually sit and ponder because we're always rushing. I mean, right now, if you're sitting in a car, you're probably rushing to fetch kids. Or if you're at home, you're rushing to do, you know, what needs to be done before everybody gets back. So what are we rushing for? Is it perfection? And what is perfection? So really think about it. I mean, this dunya is about ahsan. And as believers, we need to reach for ahsan, a certain kind of excellence, to do everything to your best, and inshallah Allah does the rest. But I think number one is we need to focus on developing our salah. Take your time with reading Quran. You know, develop a link with Quran. Allah wants us to read Quran. Allah wants us to understand Quran, and Allah wants us to love Quran. And a third point we need to really think about is gratitude. You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always advised us, look at those who have less than you. And nothing is permanent. After night comes day. This is the ebb and flow of life. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. But even in that rock bottom is also not a permanent place. So I think it's important for us to stop complaining. And many of us get into this rant and rave and we start complaining, but complain to no one but Allah. Okay, and complaining in therapy is not complaining. That's actually for your own healing and for your own betterment. So inshallah, we also need to connect with the creation of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, indeed in the rotation of the night and the day are signs for those with intellect. Allah refers to us in the Quran as Ulul Albab, the people of intellect. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved looking at greenery. And recently studies have proven, I just came across something very interesting, about a study done at one of the prisons in the United States, and the one half of the prison, just the way the architectural structure is built, the one half of the prison looks over on a green space, and the other end of the prison looks over into the courtyard, totally concrete space. And when they did mental health studies with regards to the mental health of the prisoners, the ones that lived on the site were facing the green space were much more happier and were much more positive and had much less discipline issues compared to the ones that lived on the space that was staring out into the concrete courtyard. So looking out into greenery, and we know from the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advises us, and we know from what he liked and what he didn't like, and greenery was something that he loved. You know, he loved looking at greenery. So subhanAllah, there's so much of psychological evidence within the Quran and Sharia, and these are things that we knew 1400 years ago that scientists are only discovering now, how connecting with nature actually has a positive impact on your psyche and your mental health. A believer is always winning. We're either in a state of shukr or in a state of sabr. When good things happen, you know, she's always thankful. We're always in a state of shukr. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this beautiful dua of Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. To be in a state of shukr and to say thank you to Allah and to praise Allah in any condition, whether we are in a state of shukr or in a state of sabr, we always saying Alhamdulillah. And we need to get to Allah, you know, get close to Allah in days of ease, so it's easier for us to connect with Allah in days of difficulty. And inshallah, we will be speaking more about this after the break. rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Adhikrayat. I'm your host, Tasneem, and I'll be taking you up to the next hour, inshallah, just before the 3 o'clock news. We're coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia. And if you've just joined us, you're on Medium Wave 1548, Radio Islam International. In today's show, we're speaking all about emotions, especially the negative emotions, with regards to who we are as human beings and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with these negative and positive emotions, and how to use these negative emotions and how to cope with anger, sadness and despair without losing hope in the mercy of Allah. Other ways of cognitive restructuring is to help Muslims to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings that do not, you know, regret for things that have happened in the past. A lot of us are stuck in the past. Many of us, if we're suffering from anxiety or depression or sadness, we're either stuck in the past or we're stressing about the future. And these two, you know, we don't have any control over, which, you know, no one can change. We can't go back. We can't change. And to worry about what may happen in the future is useless. So many a times the person should think only about the present, focusing all her energy on doing their best for today, because this is all that you have in control. So it helps you to forget your worries and regrets. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and both are good. Pay attention to that which could benefit you, seek the help of Allah, and do not feel incapacitated. If anything befalls you, do not say, "If only I had done such and such a thing," or "such and such a thing would have happened." Say instead, "It is the decree of Allah, and what He wills, He does." For saying "if only" opens way for the shaitan. This is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, you are allowed to react to every single situation that you made to face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you in that situation for a reason. If it makes you sad, then cry. If it makes you happy, then fall down in sujood and thank Allah. No one can take your right to respond to your trials from you. Sabr is not becoming numb. Remember, just before the break we spoke about a believer's state is two. You're either in a state of sabr or in a state of shukr. But sabr is not to become numb. It is not to let life's events overwhelm you, because you know Allah is with you and He will protect you. Like we said, this hadith, and I love this hadith, where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about Allah loves you 70 times more than a mother loves her newborn baby. And Allah uses numbers just for our understanding. So we don't even know what 70 means in the eyes of Allah. But you must never do, you know, try not to overreact to life. You cannot take a simple event and blow it out of proportions. And sometimes we do that because we are emotional beings. Sometimes you have to be in control of how you feel instead of allowing your feelings to control you. We're not saying don't feel it. Feel it, but be in control of it. You cannot get depressed over issues that can easily be corrected. So this is what I'm talking about, when pain is not a pathology. Everything is not linked to a chemical imbalance. Recently, they did studies with regards to depression, and, you know, they were concerned because 1 in 3 Americans are now on antidepressants, and South African statistics are not very far behind. And with regards to depression and taking antidepressant medication, what they found out was this researcher went into the Far East and into the rice fields, and there was a man there that was working in the rice fields, and unfortunately he stepped onto a landmine and he blew his leg off. And they fitted him with a prosthetic leg and he went back into work, but obviously working in the rice paddy is not conducive to having an artificial limb. And he couldn't manage because he wasn't as effective at doing what he did best before. And this made him very depressed because he lost purpose, he lost meaning in his life, and he had no function and he couldn't provide for his family. And this naturally would cause him to be depressed. The village all got together and they thought, what can we do? You know, the villagers all decided, what can we do? And they made shura and they all thought about it. And the one villager said, "I actually have a cow. Maybe I should give him my cow and he can start farming and, you know, looking after the animals." And they gave him a cow, and alhamdulillah, with his prosthetic leg, he managed just fine, and he started farming and looked after all the animals, and he became a farmer with regards to the cows and the animals and all of that, and alhamdulillah, his depression was cured. And the researcher goes on to say that the cow was actually his antidepressant. The cow was his Prozac. But if you live in our urban jungles, what naturally would happen is we would just go onto medication. So we need to find those cows. We need to find those cows in our lives that will bring us joy. If something's not working, Allah always gives us choices. Look within your life and see what you can do differently. What can I fix? What can I do? Okay, if this is not working, it's no use fighting this battle. Let's move on to another thing and try and find something that works for you. So you cannot call everything anxiety. You know, if you're putting in effort to build your confidence, you cannot call it a relapse if you never allowed yourself to let go of the past. You cannot push the people who care about you away and blame it on your insecurity. And most importantly, you cannot hurt yourself when you know the problem is only temporary. Nothing is permanent in this dunya, nothing. Not sadness, not happiness, nothing belongs to you. Not even your body, subhanAllah. So, you know, and you cannot hurt yourself constantly by thinking that, you know, when you look at a problem that it's only temporary and with time it will be resolved. There are reactions that we cannot control, but there are such things that we are in control of. SubhanAllah. Just the very thought, and it brings me to the ayats in the Quran where Allah speaks to Musa alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam is with his Bani Israel, and they're running away from Fir'aun, and Fir'aun's army is just behind them. And they're now standing on the edge of the water, and the people are starting to lose hope. And they say to Musa, "We will surely be caught." And what does Musa alayhi salam say to them? He says, "Kalla, never." And there's emphasis on the word kalla. Musa alayhi salam says, "Never. My Rabb is with me, and He will certainly guide me. Kalla, inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen." This is the yaqeen, this is the faith that Musa alayhi salam has in Allah taking care of him and the Bani Israel. But Allah doesn't just leave it there. Allah says to Musa, and He sent revelation to Musa telling him, strike the sea with your staff. And this is what Musa does. Because a believer, a Muslim, is very proactive and productive. And Musa alayhi salam had to strike his staff, you know, he had to strike it onto the ground before the sea actually split, showing that Musa had to do something physical in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause the miracle of the sea splitting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this very Allah that split the sea for Musa alayhi salam, is waiting for you to turn to Him in supplication, in dua, to ask of Him. And if Musa alayhi salam could turn to Him and He could make miracles for Musa alayhi salam, why do we doubt Allah's ability and capability? SubhanAllah. So I think we need to understand that we all go through grief, we all go through loss, we all go through sadness. But just looking at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, sometimes to the listeners out there, you probably may have lost your father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's father passed away before he was born. Maybe you lost your mother. He helped bury his mother when he was 6 years old, a mere 6 year old child. You lost your grandfather. He saw the death of his grandfather when he was 8. You lost your uncle. He was given the news of his martyrdom in Uhud, and he loved Hamza radiallahu anhu. He lost his son. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried 4 sons while they were infants. You lost your daughter. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried at the grave of 3 of his daughters. You lost your friend. He saw hundreds of his companions leave this world due to jihad, to war, to torture, to hunger, to illness. You lost your wife. His wife left this world while she was the most beloved of mankind to him, and he wept when he saw her belongings, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember the story of Khadija's necklace? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, years later, after Khadija had passed away, he comes across her jewelry, and tears start to well up in his eyes, just the thought of and the memory of Khadija. So crying is not a weakness, my dear mothers and sisters. This is what we need to understand. You know, you lost hope due to all the suffering, and He gave hope to the whole world of humanity despite the pain that He was going through. And sometimes we forget how to be happy due to this hardships that we're going through. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not seen without a smile in order to give others ease. SubhanAllah, when the Sahaba Ikram described Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they speak about a man that they never saw smile more than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't ever let your mind trick you into thinking that what you go through is bigger than you. If you did not have it in you to bear this burden, Allah would never have placed it on you. And always remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, remind yourself as many times as it takes that you can handle this, and this is what you've been given. And make dua for yourself. Allah is waiting for you. And sometimes He puts these things in our paths for us to turn to Him. And inshallah, when we remember Him in ease, then inshallah, in difficulty, He's the first being that we turn to. So your healing begins the moment you place your head on the ground for Allah's sake. Whether it is your relationship, your career, or your past, what you are made to go through is your trial. And it is proof that Allah loves you. Because when Allah loves a slave, He afflicts him or her with trials. And for every second that you choose to spend in forbearance and with faith in Allah and His plan for you, you will be rewarded. Subhanallah, a believer is always winning, because we get rewarded for sabr and we get rewarded for shukr. And you will see the fruits of your patience in this world, in qabr and in akhirah, and more importantly, in a permanent form in the next life, inshallah. So always remember, this burden was chosen for you, and look at the burden as a gift, because you are the best person to make it through this. Your trial awaits you, and once you are done with it, the world awaits to seek inspiration from you, because you can be a means of inspiration, you can be a means of hidayat. Like I said, you have this world-changing capability within you, just like Maryam alayhi salam, just like Khadija. Whatever your name is, live up and embody the very essence of who you are, of what your name means, because that name was given to you for a reason. So if you are Khadija, you have big shoes to fill. And it's not impossible. You have that same world-changing capability within you. And Allah has given you these talents and these skills. We just need to look into it and tap into it and use it and utilize it. And what you go through can never be bigger than you. You are worth more than the trials that you go through. You are worth more than the shoes that you wear or the handbags that you buy. You are worth more than the likes that you have on Twitter or Instagram. You control what goes on in your mind. So it's so important, I mean, just thinking about mental health and how to get over these very difficult points in our lives. But inshallah, we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Adhikrayat, and I'm your host for today, Tasneem. On today's show, we're focusing on negative emotions, anger, sadness, despair, and also we're taking a look at how to manage and control these emotions. And what does the Quran and Sunnah say regarding these emotions? A lot of times we look at these emotions in a negative light, but let us look at it today in a positive light and see how we can control it and manage it. And one of the things I came across was looking at, you know, think about the analogy of weather. We cannot control thunderstorms. I mean, that is Allah's business. We cannot control the weather. No one has that kind of power. But we learn through the weather, we learn to cope. And we learn to love. And this is important with regards to our negative emotions that are sometimes like thunderstorms. But during that thunderstorms, we're going to grab our umbrella, we're going to wear the right clothing to go out in that storm, wear our boots and go out and splash in those puddles and, you know, learn to cope and learn to love through that thunderstorm. So let us look at some of the definitions. I mean, we look at sadness. Who created sadness? Allah created emotions. It's normal to feel sad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt sad. Nuh alayhi salam, when his son refused to get onto the ark, Nuh alayhi salam felt sad. When Ibrahim alayhi salam saw Azar, his dear father, making those idols, he felt sad. So let us debunk some of these myths. And many times, whenever we're feeling sad, you know, we hear things like a believer should never be sad, or sadness is from shaitan, or it's a sign of low iman. Let me clear that up for you, because that is not sadness. That when we're speaking about low iman and from shaitan and something that we should never be, la tahzan, Allah speaks in the Quran, this is not just sadness, this is like despair. I would say like hopelessness and helplessness. And this is what Allah says we should stay clear from. Because once we lose hope in the mercy of Allah, it's very difficult for us to focus on what we actually need to do to become better human beings and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at some of the anxiety disorders. I mean, just looking at like panic disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, major depressive disorder. These are all clinical conditions that, if are not managed correctly, can lead to a pathology. But like I said, today we're speaking more about when pain is not a pathology, how to react, how to respond, and how to manage it. So Allah created everything, and everything Allah created has a purpose, including anger, fear, and pain. And each emotion, like our feelings and like our body parts, everything has a function, but we need to learn to control it, we need to manage it, and we need to function in a way that it promotes our best possible life. So what is the function of pain? If you look at pain, if we get pricked on our finger, it's to make you aware of the fact that there's danger. It allows us to take action. We need to protect our body from harm. We need to change something that's not working for us. So similarly, emotional pain, we should look in the same within the same light in terms of when we start feeling pain, we need to be aware. We need to take action. We need to protect what needs, and we need to change what needs to be changed. And what does medication sometimes do to us? Like painkillers, it's going to numb you. It escapes. It becomes addiction. It becomes self-harm. And these are some of the things we do to numb that pain. But nothing is permanent. We need to embrace this pain. We need to feel the pain because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you through that situation for a reason. And we need to understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost Khadija, his most beloved wife, and Abu Talib passed away in the same year. And this year, according to our history books, is regarded as the year of sorrow or the year of sadness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already a Nabi for 10 years. Subhanallah, he had already established his link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew his purpose. But yet he felt sadness. So there's nothing wrong in feeling sadness. It's just how we manage it and how we turn to Allah in the sadness instead of turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we speak about crying, and many people, especially we tell our little boys, big boys don't cry. Please don't tell our children these things because we actually end up damaging them. Look at the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam cried so much that he lost his eyesight. Subhanallah. So how dare we tell a little boy, especially a little boy, don't cry, only girls cry. Please, we need to stop this as mothers because we are actually damaging the psyche of our children. And we're not just raising our children, we are raising the future ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we want to raise them with emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, as well as IQ. IQ, SQ, and EQ, inshallah. And then Yaqub alayhi salam, going back to the story in the Quran, we know the most famous ayat in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is Sabrun Jamil. And this was uttered by the very person who cried to a point where he lost his eyesight. Subhanallah. This is the epitome of Sabr. Sabrun Jamil, where Sabr is so beautiful. But he goes on to say that I complain about my sadness only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah has he's put you in that situation so he can take you through that situation, inshallah. And Yaqub alayhi salam, he lost his beloved son. Both of them, Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam. And it is the mercy that Allah puts in the heart of the believers, the eyes that shed those tears, the heart that feels that sadness, but the tongue does not utter anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Islam came at a time to soften hearts. When we look at the revelation and at the time of revelation, the Arabs were burying their young infant daughters alive. Imagine the state of a father's heart to do that to his most innocent daughter, subhanallah. So Islam came to soften hearts. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to cry a lot, and many a times Aisha radiallahu anha was told, it goes in a narration something to that effect, that especially at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his deathbed, somebody instructed Aisha radiallahu anha to tell her father, tell your father to lead the prayer. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, he won't manage because he cries too much. This was her response because she knew the soft heart of her father. Umar radiallahu anha, as strong as we know he was also a man that had marks on his face from tears. Subhanallah, this is how much Umar radiallahu anhu cried, up to the point where he had marks on his face. And when we speak about tears, we can't stop that flow. Do not stop that flow. Chemically, tears are different. And research has proven that, when you take tears and when you put it under a microscope, the chemical makeup of tears are different. The tears, happy tears are different to sad tears. Did you know that? Subhanallah, I found it fascinating that when we cry, those tears, if it's out of sadness or happiness, they're different. They might look to the naked eye, they might look exactly the same, like clear droplets of water. But if you put it under a microscope, the chemical makeup is totally different between happy tears and sad tears or stress tears. Subhanallah. And these tears, we can't stop because they're cathartic. It's a cathartic process. It's cleansing, it's healing. And subhanallah, with those tears, whenever I think about crying and tears, I always think about a wise person once told me that, subhanAllah, if you look at the oceans of the universe, the ones that we know and the ones that we don't know of, all that water can never extinguish the fire of Jahannam. But one tear falling from a mu'min's eye, out of fear and love of Allah and out of hope for the mercy of Allah, that one tear can extinguish your very extreme fire of Jahannam, subhanAllah. So we really need to have yaqeen and belief, but we need to complain only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And when we cry, it's a sign of a strong believer. And it doesn't mean we're not making sabr. Sabr is a different thing. Sabr is proactive. It means getting help, speaking to somebody that, you know, reminds you of Allah, trying to get the right help from whoever Allah has sent to you. So subhanAllah, we need to really look at these stories of the Anbiya, look in the lives of the Sahaba, and take example from them, inshallah. And I think most importantly, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. You know, most importantly, this is the way of shaitan, and shaitan's biggest trick is to make us lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So let us, you know, check within ourselves, and every week, this show is of the dhikrayat. It's all about reminders, and we need to remind ourselves about these things constantly, because we get so involved and overcome and overwhelmed with our emotions that it gets the better of us. So let us always try and stay in control of our emotions. Just a few tips on how to maybe improve in terms of our getting into a positive state of being. We need to see that we get enough sleep. You know, pay attention to your feelings, spend time in nature, find a hobby, try to laugh often. That also ups your serotonin, it gets your happy hormones flowing through your body. Grieve your losses. If you need to cry, cry. But just don't stay there too long. Pick yourself up and keep moving. Accept yourself, imperfections and all. Only try to change yourself, not others. Many a times we want to try and change everybody else, and then we forget that the most important person that we need to change, or the only person that we can change, is actually ourselves. Spend less time in front of electronics, connect with friends and family, try to do things that you want to, not out of obligation, or not things that seem and appear to be, you know, the right thing to do, but what do you really want? And very, very importantly, practice gratitude daily. Try and say a lot of subhanallah, alhamdulillah, express your feelings, thank Allah. You know, if you have to sit down and start to think about all the things that we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, we'll run out of the ink of the oceans, but we will not run out of praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So surround yourself with positive people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you are in the religion of your friend. So be careful who you befriend, and try and find yourself amongst people that remind you of Allah. And remember that sometimes it's healthy to say no. Forgive yourself when you make a mistake. And if you need to get help, then inshallah, you know yourself and try and, you know, do what's best for you, inshallah. That brings me to the end of today's show. From me and my engineer, Brother Ziad, it was an absolute pleasure being in your company. Until we meet again next week, inshallah. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.